Sanctified me. Amen. Let's sing that song. We'll just sing. Take my check off. It's off. Amen. So sorry.
A pure, that's what I love. Follows after me, oh, you are, that's what I long for, heart that follows after me, oh.
Surely around me, I go to it.
around it, surely around it. If all comes down, surely around it, when all to heaven is found. And we know his hand,
Sister Comfort's given thanks to the Lord for granting her journey mercies to Italy and back. So we do welcome the sister back. Let's bow our heads. Father, just a pure heart. That's what we long for. A heart that is pleasing unto you. And won't you help us as we fellowship around your word and all that we do upon this night, that Father, you might take us closer and deeper to that place for your glory. Father, we look to thee upon this day, praying, Lord, that you would bless us upon this night. Father, watch over us. Thank you, Lord, that you brought our sister safely back. Thank you for your mercy, your grace upon us, Lord. Praying for the rest of your people, Brother Virgus at work. Bless him, we pray. Them that can't come tonight, we dedicate them up unto thee. Lord, we're looking unto thee. We've come to sit at your feet, come to sit at your footstool. Father, have the preeminence. Lord, guide us in the way that you'd have us to go. Bless your people, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, saints. Let's open our Bibles. We do greet you this evening in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you very much for your prayers while we were away last weekend. It was a real wonderful time with the saints in Bridgewater that were sending greetings. I'll speak a little bit about it on Sunday, but it was a real wonderful time. It's nice to go and fellowship with saints of like precious faith. There's something real sweet about it. Let's open Galatians chapter 5. Let's do a little bit of a Bible study this evening. Now, there's power in the Word. This is the Apostle Paul, Galatians chapter 5. Let's read from verse 16. Paul says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envying, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." Then he says, the next chapter, verse 1, "Brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." Amen. Let's pray again. Father, how we come unto thee upon this night. Lord, we just desire, be it unto us according to your word. Help us to understand and lead us, Lord, we pray. Father, quicken your word unto our souls. Father, feed us deep within. Father, stir us up in the inner man, that, Lord, we may always be zealous unto good works, that you may always be zealous, Father, to fulfill that which you've called us for. Father, help us to flee youthful lust. Help us to flee all these other things, Lord, that, Father, you might have the preeminence in all that we do. We're looking to bless your word to us now in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You may be seated, saints. Just before we went, we're looking at the topic of brotherly kindness. You know, and I was just reading up to try to see. We spoke about, you know, the prophet speaks about the palmer worm. And we saw that, I think, on the Sunday before we went. That the very enemy of the bride tree, we know that the Lord planted a bride tree. And the prophet says in the message, restoration of the bride tree, says the bride tree is a fruit tree. That's what it is. It's ordained. It's been planted in the right place, and it's predestined to bring forth fruit in his season. We know that well from the preaching, even from the brothers who came to minister to us and so forth, that that is the desire of the Lord. The bride tree is ordained to bring forth certain types of fruit. But we know also that there's this bug. There's the palmer worm, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, the locust. You know, working in his different forms, he eats at the different parts of this tree. And as Paul is saying here, this is when he speaks of the flesh and the spirit, that this is a perpetual battle. Now, there's always going to be these two things wrestling with one another. There's always going to be the flesh, the deeds of the flesh, and the anointing that comes upon the flesh. And there's going to be the spirit and the fruits of the spirit. And there's going to be these two things that are always going to be at strife. There's always going to be this great battle. The white horse, the black horse, the white dog, black dog, whatever you want to call it, there's always going to be this principle at work in the bride tree. But it's very good to study and to know your enemy. It's very good on a regular basis to go back, especially to find certain things where the Holy Ghost would really take his time. The Holy Ghost takes his time in Galatians chapter 5 to speak of, I think it's 14 different attributes of the flesh. And these attributes are divided up into different groups and refer to different things. You know, some of them are sensual, some of them are warring against brotherly kindness and so forth. There's really, really certain things of the flesh and how Satan knows how to work in the flesh, to take advantage of the weakness of our flesh, that he comes in different ways, brings different anointings, uses these different attributes, these different weaknesses of the flesh to try to attack the bride tree, because that's his aim, that's his objective. And the great thing that he doesn't want is the bride tree to bring forth its fruits in its season. You know, but this tree has been planted in the right place. It's the planting of the Lord. He's the one that has planted this tree. He's the one that has ordained this tree. And this tree, the bride tree, is living off his life. The sap in this tree is the sap of the Spirit of Christ. That's the very lifeline that's inside of this tree. So there's this great battle that goes on all the time. And it's interesting how Paul speaks about this. He says in verse 19, he says, now the works of the flesh are manifest. So he speaks of the works of the flesh. But when he speaks on the spiritual line in verse 22, he says, the fruit of the Spirit. Now there's two very different things here. Now what we're supposed to be bearing is fruit. Yeah, fruit is something which a fruit tree bears. Now fruit is just something that comes forth from life. If there's life in a living organism, that living organism, the essence of life inside of it is going to produce fruit. It's going to bring forth fruit. If you've got a tree, you plant it in the right place, it's going to bring forth fruit. Every seed will bring forth of its own kind. But there's these bugs as well, and they want to do their works. Now, they want to try to use these works now to eat down the various fruits of this tree. And we know the prophet says the first fruit was love. You know, and that's this little bug, this little greedy teeth bug the prophet speaks of, wants to come on, eat on that. But the Holy Ghost uses two things through Paul here. He speaks of, one, the works of the flesh. Yeah, and then he speaks of the fruit of the Spirit. Now, there's something, if you think of fruit is something, at the moment you think about it, there's something appealing about it. Now, there's something very pleasant about fruit. Fruit is beneficial. Now, if a tree brings forth fruit, it's for a purpose. It's not for itself. That fruit is to be used. That fruit is to be a blessing to someone or something. That's the purpose of this fruit. So there's the fruits of the Spirit, and these fruits of the Spirit are to be used or to be manifest or to be a blessing. But now there's the works of the flesh. And we'll see, these are dark works. You know, you don't really want these kind of things inside of your life. When Jesus speaks or Paul speaks of the parables, he speaks about fruits. He speaks of the fig tree, yeah? But then he speaks of the thorns and the thistles. He speaks of the wheat, the corn of wheat. So on one hand, there's fruits, something which comes beneficially. On the other hand, there's thorns and thistles, things that just grow, things that use resources, but they don't bring forth anything of benefit to anybody. They just use the resources that should be used by the bride tree. No, to bring forth its fruit. So you have these kind of things that when the Lord sows his seed, Satan's going to be behind there sowing his seed as well. It's always going to be a battle. It's the battle for expression. And Satan, being a perverter, is always trying to pervert. He's always trying to hold back God from really expressing what he wants to express. You know, if you take the quotes the prophet speaks on the fruits of the Spirit, he speaks of them. You know, I just printed out the quotes. I was reading them. You know, you're going to take about 50 pages of quotes just to see when the prophet speaks of the fruits of the Spirit. It's a very important topic that he speaks about. These ones of the fruits of the Spirit. And we'll see why. But he says this in Law Having a Shadow in 1956. He says, no. He says, the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace, long-suffering, goodness, patience, meekness. There's not one visible evidence. Yeah? Of not one fleshly. It's all in the supernatural realm. You know, so if we're looking at ourselves as believers this evening, the Lord in Galatians 5 gives us two lists here. He gives us all these attributes of the flesh, and he gives us all the attributes of those that are bringing forth the life of the Spirit. And it's quite an easy thing for you and I once in a while to go through the list. And have a look at ourselves honestly, an inward search. Go to Dr. Jesus for an inspection once again and try to assess, where are you? Now, where are we? Which side of this great equation are we dealing with? You know, here's these works of the flesh. Here's the fruits of the Spirit. And they're very clear. Paul even says it there. He says, the works of the flesh are manifest. They're evident. They're clear. And he goes and shows clearly to us what are these works of the flesh. What are the works that the flesh, the fallen nature, the fallen man produces? And let's not forget that Satan comes, he brings whatever spirit. If one of the works of the flesh is fornication, he's going to have a spirit of lust that's going to come to anoint that weakness in the flesh, which is fornication, which is unclean living, all these kind of things, sensuality. So he knows how to anoint. He studies you. He looks at you. He sees what bait that he can get you at any time to respond to. And if you in the flesh, if you're not walking in the Spirit, there's going to come some kind of anointing. There's going to come some kind of a circumstance. And your flesh, that carnal side of you, Paul goes on to say that he that is in the flesh cannot please God. Because the flesh cannot please God. The flesh is carnal. It's born in sin. It's shaped in iniquity. There's nothing good in the deeds of the flesh. The flesh, it's just a mammal. It's just a, you know, something that just thinks about itself, doesn't think about other people, just wants to fulfill its desires. It just wants to express what it naturally is as a fallen something. And Paul is saying, be careful of the flesh. Don't walk in the flesh. Don't give occasion to the deeds of the flesh. Because on the other hand, the Lord has planted us in this great resource. The great resource of token life. The great resource of the life that's in the Spirit. And anybody that's born again has access to this life. And Jesus said, if you abide in me, you'll bring forth much fruit. Yeah, and that's when he is glorified, is when you bring forth much fruit. So we really want to just see this just a little bit, like us as a Bible study, to look at these two things. The fruits of the Spirit and the lusts of the flesh. And see what the prophet says about some of these things. And you know, we'll see inside of there that, you know, one of the great enemies of brotherly kindness is the flesh. Now we'll see it quite clearly as we go along. But the prophet says that if we wanted to look at an evidence that somebody is a Christian, if we want to know if somebody is really born again, if somebody is claiming to be what they claim to be, we claim to be the bride. Yeah, we claim to be filled of his Spirit. We claim to be, you know, his elect. Now the prophet's saying there's not one fleshly evidence we can look at. Not one outward thing fleshly in a way that we can look at. He says, because this we're speaking about, these fruits that we're supposed to bring forth, they come from the supernatural realm. Amen. You know, so you've got to have a supernatural connection with a supernatural source, which is Christ. You've got to be abiding in the vine. And as long as there's this spiritual connection, there's this life that's taken place, this communion, this union with him. You know, anybody who's got this union, anybody who's living, who's abiding in the vine, it's just natural you're going to bring forth these fruits. There may be different measures of them at different times. You know, things can dim at certain times because of circumstances, all that. But it's just natural for the tree to bring forth fruit. It's just natural. So the prophet says, it's all in the supernatural realm. It's the hidden force that's in you. The life of Christ coming back onto the worshiper as you laid your hands upon his head and confessed you were wrong. So he's speaking about the life that was in the lamb, couldn't come back on the worshiper. But the life that's in Christ when we fully repent, when we lay ourselves upon the altar, when we've been baptized in his name, when we've repented of every sin, his life comes upon us now. And something happens in the supernatural realm. And the prophet says, now there's a hidden force that's inside of you. Friends, this is an unconquerable force. If you will just feed on this, if you will just concentrate on this aspect of your life, friends, you don't have to worry about the works of the flesh. Because this hidden force that you have has dominion. You have dominion and you have preeminence. And whenever the flesh wants to raise up its head because of circumstances, because of whatever it is, you can trot it underfoot. You can put your foot on its neck and say no. But that flesh is always going to be there, right unto the body change. That's why there's got to be a body change. Because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Because this flesh is not redeemed. This flesh is part of the curse. It's part of the fall. So it has to go either by the way of the grave or it's got to be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, so we can put on a body like unto his glorious body, which is not flesh and blood, which isn't governed by the passion and the nature, the depravity of this fallen nature. So the prophet's saying that it's this hidden force. But this hidden force inside of us, this fountain that's inside of us, this source of life that's inside of us, you can't say you have it if it doesn't express itself. It's got to express itself. And that's what Paul is showing here. There's 9 fruits of the Spirit. Now there's going to be these fruits. These fruits have to be expressing themselves. Otherwise, we can claim great things. We can all the quotes. We can all the scriptures. We can be like the Pharisees. You know, we can keep our garments, our phylacteries long. No, we can go and fast through twice a week, whatever, 3 times a week, pay tithe of our herbs and all the things they were doing, all the outward religious things. But they didn't have the fruits. They didn't have the fruits on display inside of their lives. Now, you and I don't want to be like that. And we persuaded better things because we have access to the source. We have access, we have fellowship, we have communion with this hidden power, with this supernatural something that is in behind the veil. And if we just yield to him and just let him express himself, he wants to express himself because it's a fruit tree. He wants to express his fruits. He wants to bring forth these fruits through the life of a believer. And that's why it's a force that's inside of the soul of a believer. And that's now, the prophet speaks about it, just how important that it is for believers to show forth these fruits, because this is what the world is dying for. The world is not dying for doctrine. It's not dying for doctrine. Unless that doctrine is made flesh in fruits. You see, unless there's these fruits of the Spirit behind the doctrine. You know, it's just a stumbling block to the world. Now, the world, it's not thirsting for the gifts of the Spirit. You know, it doesn't thirst for those kind of things. Those things are powerful and those things are good. But that's not what the world is looking for. The world is looking for something genuine. It's looking for something real that's on display. And that's what these fruits of the Spirit really are. No, it's really, really looking for this. That's what it's thirsting for. That's why the prophet says here in these quotes, he says in this message, why is it so many Christians find it hard to live the Christian life? He says, now, if that life doesn't accompany you, no matter, he says, I speak in Christ's name. You'll say, Brother Branham, I've had some wonderful experiences. That doesn't do it, brother. Jesus never said, by the experiences you shall know them. He said, by their fruits you shall know them. That's why Jacob had a lot of experiences, but he never had the right fruits. And then one day, something happened to him on the backside of the desert there at the brook Peniel, when he met God face to face, and something changed inside. within the veil, and now he brought forth fruits. Now he didn't just speak of his experiences now, but now his life could bring forth fruits, could bring forth things that had never brought forth before. So the prophet is going to really show us there's no evidence. You'll never find an evidence. You know, the prophet brings it down to believing the word, and we know that. But the prophet says you have to leave it to God. He's the only judge of who's really in a believer and who isn't. But the prophet says the closest thing that you can see is these fruits. Because by their fruits you shall know them. So there's something important about these fruits. So experiences are good. Every one of us, we need fresh spiritual experiences on a regular basis. Hallelujah. Otherwise, we get backslidden in our experience. We get judgmental. We get hard. We get harsh. Unless we have a regular breaking up time in the soul before the Lord. Unless we have a fresh inflow of His Spirit, a fresh spiritual experience on a regular basis, we lose momentum. We lose feelings for the people. We lose feelings for one another. You start focusing on secondary things instead of the most important things. It's just natural for us to do that. You know, so we need experiences, but you can't judge yourself by experiences. You can't judge yourself, but what we have to assess ourselves by is the fruits of the Spirit. You know, what fruits am I bringing forth inside of my life? Now, then he goes on to say it. Listen how he expresses this one here. In a position of a believer in Christ. It's a very good message, 1955. The prophet speaks many things in here about the fruits of the Spirit. He says, prophesying is good. Speaking in tongues is right. Interpretations are right. But you can do those things without being first fundamentally baptized into Christ. So you're not even planted. The tree's not yet planted, but you can have these gifts. You can have these things. And that's how we said it the other week. That's the stumbling block to the unbeliever. Because he's seeing manifestations of the Spirit without the fruits of the Spirit. He's seeing a great manifestation. Someone praying, healing the sick. Somebody speaking in tongues at Mishawaka. Someone interpreting, people running to the altar. And then you go and speak to the person. And there's not the fruits of the Spirit. But instead there's the works of the flesh governing the life of the person. And the prophet almost gave up on tongues because of that. Because he met that man who was so powerful speaking in tongues. And then under discernment found out the man was living with someone who wasn't his wife. And the prophet says, I thought these were angels. And then I thought, man, they must be devils. Can you see? So it's not that gift that's to be judged. Because a gift is many times a genuine, wonderful, precious gift. And friends, on the fruit tree, want the gifts. The gifts also on the fruit tree, but it's the fruits. That's the most important thing. That this world is looking for. That we all need to eat from one another these fruits on the bride tree. So he goes on to say, that's not fruits of the Spirit, that's gifts of the Spirit. He says, there you are. Through faith, you can do great things and yet not be born again of the Spirit of God. Be careful there. He said, it's a danger line, you Pentecostal people. That's why the prophet, if only they could have seen the importance of the prophet to them. Because the prophet came right to those people and was trying to show them, hey, people, focus on the right things. Don't get rid of what you've got, but focus on the right things. But they were focusing on the gifts. And the prophet was trying to say, don't focus on those gifts. It's these fruits. What about these fruits? Then he goes on to say, be careful. Don't look at great high things, great crowds. We didn't have to worry about that tonight. Yeah? Worrying about great crowds. Don't look at great demonstrations or great healings or great things like that. Look up at the great Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The fruit of the Spirit, love. He says, what is God love? And if you can't love your enemy, no matter what he says about you, yeah? Your neighbor, no matter what he says, if from your heart, not with your lips, not with your knowledge that you should do it, but something in your heart makes you love them anyway, regardless of what they say, then it's time to come to the altar again. Because you never quite got what you thought you got. Or really what you should have had. And he says, amen. It's a serious one. Because the first fruit of the Spirit is love. That's the first of the fruits of the Spirit is unconditional love. It's love that doesn't just love someone because that person loves them back. But it says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So the prophet says, be careful here. Because if you can't love your enemy, if somebody speaks evil of you, and from your heart you can't love that person back, he said, come back to the altar. He says, because maybe you didn't get the thing that you got in the beginning, though you may have lots of experiences in it. But now he brings it onto a really nice one here. He says, and a man, when he comes to Christ, it isn't first, go and get your oranges. He says, no, you get the tree. He says, and the tree is being planted in Christ Jesus, the inexhaustible fountain of life. So he's saying, don't just go and look for tongues. That's what he's trying to say to them. Come and get the tree. Amen. Come and make sure that you are planted, that you are the bride tree, that his life is in you. He says, come and get the tree first, because all of the fruits, everything else is on the tree. He says, and in everything that a believer has to do after he's placed in Christ Jesus, everything he has need of in this earthly journey is given to him when he's placed in Christ. And all he has to do, we know this quote, is to drink and drink and push out. That's all the tree has to do. Drink till every fruit of the Spirit, every gift of the Spirit, everything that's in Christ Jesus that belongs to you is in you for the entire journey. So if you're really born again, if you're really converted today, if the Holy Ghost really dwells inside of your soul, it's not hard to bear to bring forth the fruits of the Spirit. You've just got to drink. You've just got to drink. And as you drink, the fruits are going to come. As you drink, as you abide in Him, the fruits are going to come. They're going to express themselves. He says, no, you're not supposed to dig it up somewhere. He says, come to the inexhaustible life of Christ. Then you're positionally placed in Christ. And when you're in Christ by the Holy Spirit, then all of these qualities of the Holy Spirit lives in you.
Amen.
It's so simple. Sometimes it's too simple. Because you wanted to look for something else. We wanted to make it complicated. But he says, you just find your position in Christ.
Amen.
You lay yourself on the altar. Yeah? You come, you repent. You come God's provided way. He says that God will plant you positionally in Christ.
Amen.
In the place that you're supposed to be to bring forth what you're supposed to bring forth. And all your responsibility is to spend time with Christ.
Mm.
Just be in prayer. Just be in His Word. Just be in communion with Him. Be in communion with His people. Just be faithful. Just abide in me and let Him abide in you. And you're going to bring forth these fruits. That's what He's saying. So, but obviously the beginning of it, there has to be that experience. There has to be that new birth. That's the real, real important thing. Now he says it on this one here, number 3. He says, now, no matter how much, this is in the Lamb and the Dove, no matter how much you preach, if you've still got a real ill temper, it doesn't do you much good to preach. See? No matter how much you join church and try to impersonate, if you're still crabby, you know what to be crabby is? Is to be ill-tempered. To be crabby is those kind of people that when you're around them, they just complain about everything. You know, it's just, no matter what you try to say, they'll be telling you something negative. The prophet says, if you're crabby and nasty with your neighbor, you'll never win him to Christ. It says, you see, it's the fruits of the Spirit. That's right. Live me a sermon. Instead of preaching me one, that's a good thing. Live me a sermon. And that's what it is. It's living a person a sermon. That when a person is thirsty, when a person is angry, when a person is disappointed, when a person is frustrated, they can come to the fruit tree. And they're going to find there's certain fruits there. There's gentleness. There's meekness. There's all these kind of fruits that they can eat from at that time. And then they're going to start determining inside of themselves very quickly. Like that brother said to the prophet, he says, my wife, she doesn't want to come to the message. She's always telling me, practice what you preach. And the prophet says, well, if she's telling you that and she's got grounds, you need to listen to her advice. He says, but when you live a life, when you demonstrate something that she doesn't have, she's going to start getting thirsty. She's going to start desiring, because she's going to say, I don't have these fruits. And these fruits are sweet. And then she's going to come to you and say, but where did you get these fruits from?
Amen.
And then you're going to point her now to the fountain. You're going to point her to the vine himself and show her the way that she can bring forth those fruits as well. But that's the important thing. Sometimes we're trying to jump too far ahead. Now, we wanted to preach a sermon, we're not living a sermon, and we're wondering why it's not having the effect that we expected it to have. The most important thing is to live the person a sermon. Now, let's look at some of these fruits of the Spirit, first of all, because that's the positive side. Now, the fruits of the Spirit, verse 22 tells us, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. So the first three of the fruits of the Spirit, the Lord always does things in that way. These are inward. Yeah? These are things for you. These are things that you need. Yeah? You need this love in you. Yeah? You need joy inside of you. You need peace. So these are things, these are fruits that you yourself partake of. These are very important fruits. They're the most important of the fruits. And in fact, all of these fruits are encompassed in love. You know, if you get love, you're going to get the rest of these kind of things because God is love. But joy is optimism. The official definition, that's godly optimism despite the circumstances. This is something which is wonderful. This is something supernatural in the life of a believer, that you may be lying on a hospital bed and you've got joy. It's true. You might be not having a cent in the bank and the bills are sitting piling up, but you have joy. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit. It's something inside of you which He's ministered. He's dwelling inside of there. It's that confidence. It's that something inside of you that even when it seems the whole world is falling upside down, that there's something inside of you. There's a certain fountain, there's a certain something that still is bubbling up and expressing itself inside of you, which isn't manufactured by yourself, because it's a fruit of the Spirit. It's not a fruit of the believer. It must become a fruit of the believer, but it's a fruit of the Spirit. It's a fruit that the Spirit bears. It's a fruit that the Spirit brings. So if you have Christ, if He's dwelling inside of you, we all know those situations. We all know them. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. That's the strength of a believer. That in the midst of trial, your mind may be troubled, your flesh may be troubled. But David said, God is the strength of my heart. He said, my strength may fail, my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart. And that's the testimony of a believer. And friends, that is a real powerful thing, because right in the midst of trouble, when everybody else is falling apart, you won't be falling apart. You'll be sad, you'll be worried, you'll be all those different things that people would naturally feel. But there's something inside of you, like the song says, something keeps holding me. Yeah. It's not the ship doing the holding, it's the anchor that does the holding. Though the storms are there, there's an anchor inside of there. And friends, the unbeliever notices that. The unbeliever notices that. And it's a real testimony. Now, these fruits of the Spirit, as you get into them and you look at them, you'll see Paul is really showing us something which is time-tested. Because there's many people who come and they're so full of love at first, and then there's no love 3 months later. And there's people that come and they have so much joy and they want to turn the whole world upside down. And a few months later, trials, temptations come. Where's all the joy gone? No, where are they? You don't want that kind of an experience. You want the real thing that you planted in Christ. That you are His planting, that He plants you by the rivers of waters. That's where you want to be, so that you will have leaves, you'll bring forth fruit in your season. That even when everybody else is dry, you go down near the riverbank. Where's the thickest of the bushes? Where's the thickest of the trees? Is next to the river. When everything else is parching, everything else is dying out there in the fields, right next to the river, you'll find things will still be green, things will still be bringing forth their fruit. That's the life of a believer. It's the place where you planted. It's the place where you dwell. That when everybody else is losing fruits now, no one's bringing forth fruits anymore, you're still bringing forth fruits. That testifies of something. That testifies of the reality of your experience. You know, you may have claimed many things, maybe people didn't believe it, but when you still have love, yeah? When you shouldn't have love, when everyone's speaking evil of you, everyone turns against you. No one appreciates you anymore. Yeah? People gossip about you. And you can still have love. Yeah? When everybody else is losing love at that time, bad. There's darkness. The palmer worm's doing his work in the bride tree. That spirit is at work. Strife and all the things that we'll see in the works of the flesh. Strife and emulations and hatred and all those things are being displayed. Yeah. Your flesh may be tempted to do the same because you're still a natural person. You've still got the flesh. But there's a power inside of you which has been activated through the power of the new birth that you can still have love. As Jesus did, as Stephen did, as all those people did. When he was stoned and he says, Father, lay this not to their charge. Amen. That was what testified to Paul. It wasn't the preaching of St. Stephen. It was that life that he lived when they were stoning him. And here was Saul of Tarsus holding the garments, yeah? Breathing out threatenings and slaughter, the works of the flesh. He was angry. He was so angry, Paul. He was so in the flesh. And then he saw this man that the more stones they threw at him, the more he prayed for them. Ah, friends, that's a witness now. And now when Paul went back and lay in his bed, Saul of Tarsus, and he tried to think that he was right, that picture kept coming in his mind of Stephen. And Stephen saying, Father, lay this not to their charge. Oh, that's a powerful one. That's a real powerful one. Now, that's a fruit of the Spirit. You can't do that yourself. This isn't a natural something that a person naturally can do. This is something in the supernatural realm, the prophet says, it's a hidden power. Sometimes it seems it'll be dormant, but at that time it expresses itself. Oh, friends, it's a powerful testimony. It's a powerful testimony. So, these ones, peace. Jesus said, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives. He can give you peace. You know, we sing the song, far away in the depth of my spirit tonight. Peace, peace, yeah? Wonderful peace coming down from the Savior above. Ah, friends, when you move into that kind of a place, right in the midst of the most difficult times in life, and there's that peace within the veil. You know, when, like I'm saying, your mind will be tired, your flesh can fail, you know? Your reasonings, your understanding will be telling you all sorts of things, but there's something within. There's a peace inside of there. Something's ministering peace to you. That's one of the fruits of the Spirit. You know, so these first three of these fruits of the Spirit, any genuine believers experience them. And if you want to experience them more, you know what you've got to do? John chapter 15. You've got to abide in them. Because then you bring forth even more excellent fruit. The fruit that comes forth, the more time you spend with him, the more time you drink him, those fruits are going to become richer. Those fruits are going to express themselves more and more. That's just the simple principle of it. So he says now, love, joy, peace. Now the next three are outward. These three are fruits which are expressed to other people. And look at them. It says love, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, goodness. I love when somebody was preaching, they said, what is goodness? And they said, goodness is love in action. And I never forgot that. That's what goodness is. It's love in action. It's when you actually go, you feel love and you do something to that person. It's goodness. You're expressing goodness. Our friends, it's a sweet fruit, that one there. When someone expresses and lets you partake of that fruit, how do you feel? It's sweet. Especially in the times where you need it. Then somebody manifests that towards you, goodness. Oh, it's a wonderful thing. Patience, we've seen it before, it's long-suffering. Yeah, endurance, the ability to endure under difficult circumstances. When you can endure with somebody, when you can have patience with somebody, it's not an easy thing, but it's in you. The potential is in every single born-again believer that if you'll yield yourself, if you'll use the resources that have been given unto you, this is in you. The power for this to be expressed, this hidden power is in you, in the supernatural realm. And if you want it to be expressed, and you allow it to express itself by yielding yourself, the prophet says, it'll express itself in whatever situation that it is. Kindness is a gracious disposition towards others. We know what kindness is. To be kind. When someone's not kind to you, to be kind back to them. Ah, friends, that's a great way to overcome. Because it says a soft answer turns away wrath. You know, you do exactly the opposite. We'll see it maybe on Sunday, but there's only one weapon that's given to us to overcome evil. The Bible says overcome evil with good. That's the only way we're authorized to overcome evil. We're not authorized to try to overcome evil in any other way. You can't overcome evil with evil. You can't use the same tactics as a person's using against you. The Bible says overcome evil with good. That's the only thing that you're authorized to use. That's the only effective power that overcomes evil is good. And that's a fruit. That's a fruit in the life of a person. But you have to allow that to be expressed. So you have patience and you have kindness. Yeah? He says gentleness and goodness. So love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Ah, friends, meekness, temperance. Faith, when it speaks of faith, it's speaking of faithfulness. Somebody who's faithful, someone who's faithful to their word. Someone who's dependable, reliability, a real faithful person. Ah, friends, the world is dying for that. No, the world is dying to see somebody that you're friends with them in good times and bad. Because there's so many fair weather friends. People make friends like the prodigal son. And you have those friends that when all the money is gone, they're not friends anymore. But there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother, the Bible says. There's that kind of a friend. That something kicks in at that kind of a time and there's a faithfulness. There's a reliability. There's a dependability. That even when you fail that person, it's not the end of your friendship. As long as you're still willing, that person's still going to be there faithful. Like this father of the prodigal son. Now, he was a faithful father. You know, he knew if that young man comes back, I'm going to be here just the same. As long as he's learned his lesson, he's more than welcome to come back. That was faithfulness that he had. A real faithfulness. Then he speaks of gentleness. Yeah, gentleness is meekness. That's what it is. It's not weakness. We've seen that before. But gentleness is when you take your power and your authority and you put it under God's control. Yeah. When you just act under control of the Lord. When He leads you and guides you in the way that you should act and react to certain situations. That's gentleness. You've got it under control. It's more like the self-control. And then He speaks about goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Temperance, again, is self-control. So it's those kind of attributes inside of the life of a believer. Let's look at the works of the flesh now. Because I think most of us, we know those fruits of the Spirit. Now, the works of the flesh are divided up as well. Look in verse 19. These are evil things. These are wicked things that you don't want to give room to inside of your life because you'll spoil your testimony. You'll stumble yourself. You'll stumble other people. And if you feed the flesh, Paul told us, if you sow to the flesh, you will reap destruction. If you allow this flesh to be energized, if you give it an opportunity, you give it too much room, like David did when he was up there, lying on his bed at the time kings go to battle. Friends, I'm sure so many times after that he regretted that. He should never have done that. So it says, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication. So the first thing that you're going to see that it brings it into, adultery, fornication, uncleanness. These are the sexual or the sensual sins. You've got to be careful of these ones. These ones can really, really hold you back. Adultery, fornication is the word porneia, where we get pornography from. Every kind of unlawful, extramarital or unnatural sexual intercourse. So that's the works of the flesh. When you see someone falling in fornication, when you see somebody giving themselves over to sensual things, that's the works of the flesh. But we know that if you give room to the flesh, Satan's going to come with the spirit to come and anoint that part of your being. He's going to come with the spirit of lust. And it's going to come and anoint and energize that flesh. Until if you're not careful, that flesh is going to control you instead of you controlling that flesh. That you've allowed too much opportunity and room to that aspect. Those works of the flesh. The next thing that it speaks about is verse 19. Fornication, uncleanness. Now, uncleanness is that which defiles you. So you might go and do something outwardly, but this is the stage where you defile yourself before you do the act. So this uncleanness, or this impurity that you have inside of yourself, is uncleanness in thought or in word or in deed. So you start to think about things. You start to watch things. The prophet says Eve had to fall first in the spiritual womb. That's where she fell first before she went and did the actual act. So this one here will lead you if you're not careful. But these kind of things, it brings an uncleanness. The flesh, when you yield to the flesh in this kind of a way, by the things you speak, by the things you read, by the things you watch, by the things that you meditate upon, you're yielding to the works of the flesh. And once you yield to that works, it's quite an easy thing for to kick up to the next level, to fornication, to adultery, and you fall in those kind of a thing. Now, this is impurity. The next thing that it speaks about is lasciviousness, yeah? Lasciviousness is sensuality. Shameless excess. That's the age that we're living in. The absence of restraint. People undressing themselves in public, people, you know, doing these immoral acts, things on the television, things on the screen, things in the newspapers, people burying their entire bodies before people and so forth. Things that should never be done. These are the works of the flesh. This is sensuality. And friends, it's come to a stage in this life that there's certain of these things. You can't even preach against them anymore because it's against the law. The very thing which the Bible is saying, stay away from these things. They make laws and advocate those things. And people who cry out against and say, this will be for your destruction. Don't feed that desire. There's no more restraint on those things. So we don't really want to worry much about those ones there. But let's have a look. We skip past the next two. The next two, which is idolatry and witchcraft. Now, we don't really want to get much into that. But these are unlawful dealings in the spiritual realm. This includes horoscopes. This includes tarot cards. This includes all of those occult kind of things. Giving yourself over. Those are the works of the flesh. It just shows the flesh desires to have interaction with the spiritual world. But you've got to make sure that it's the right side of the spiritual world. And people have fallen in these kind of things. Now, the ones we just want to look at a little bit more is the next group is the violations of brotherly love. And it's amazing how many Paul puts here. Listen what he says. Hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, and murders. You wouldn't even think there's that many. But friends, there's a lot of things that the palmer worm feeds upon. These are the realm of the palmer worm. If you allow these things, you get in the flesh and you start fellowshipping with the palmer worm, these are the works that start to manifest themselves. These are the things that will start to display themselves inside of your life. And all of these things are destructive to the bride tree. You don't want these things inside of the bride tree at all. So let's look at the very first one, hatred, yeah? Which is enmity. That's really what it is. It comes from the word of enemy. To be enmity, yeah? One who is hostile towards another. That's the flesh when you feel hostility against somebody. Hatred, which may be open or concealed. So we'll see, this is in a more advanced form. Some of the ones are after the show, how you can get to this stage. But this is a hatred. When you hate somebody, you can keep it inside of yourself, or if it's getting more and more advanced and the flesh is taking more and more control, it'll actually express itself. Open or concealed. This is to express antagonism, you know. When after a while you get to the stage, you start to express it. You start to say things to annoy somebody. You start to say things to take away somebody's joy or peace, or you know, take away their reputation. And exactly this word is the opposite of love. Hatred is the opposite of love. You can't have the fruits of the Spirit and have the deeds of the flesh governing at the same time. You can't have it. You can't have hatred and love at the same time. If you've got love, love is unconditional. If you've got love, no matter what that person does to you, it shouldn't change how you feel against them. You should still wish the best for that person. You may not agree with them. You may stay away from them. But you don't have hatred against the person. You don't have enmity against the person. It's the opposite of love. This is the thing that destroys friendship. Once it gets to this level, it's very difficult to undo. Certain things can have happened before, but when friends, these kind of things happens between people, when it gets to open hostility between people, this hatred or enmity, it's a difficult thing to repair. It takes the grace of God. So he says hatred. The next one he says is variance. Now variance is quarreling. It's contention. It's engagement in a competition. Yeah? Because of the different positions people take about something. So there's now a contention. I never said that, but you did say that. Yeah? It's that kind of a thing. You see, you've got into this one of variance, which is strife. The Bible says the servant of God should not strive. Because once you've got to strife, you're in the flesh. God cannot work in the realm of the flesh. Redemption cannot work in the realm of the flesh. So straight away, nothing good can come from anything in which there's strife. That's why Paul said to Timothy, do not strive over these foolish things of genealogies and so forth. These things just gender strife. They're just the works of the flesh. Don't worry about those kind of things. It's exactly the opposite now of the fruits of the Spirit, gentleness and patience and those kind of things. They're not expressing themselves anymore inside of your life. You don't have patience with the person, so you get in contention with them. Yeah, they said something against you, so now you retaliate against what they said. Now you've been overcome of evil. You're not overcoming evil with good anymore. So this is variance, it's strife. Strife is persistent contention. Now, I think every single one of us at some stage, we're going to disagree with one another. I mean, that's life. Every single one of us at some stage in your flesh, I'm going to displease you, and in my flesh, you're going to displease me. You're going to do something, say something, whatever, even if it's just what I think it was, and maybe it wasn't really like that. But something's going to provoke me in my flesh. But it just depends on what I do with that. Because we have a hidden power. We have something, a supernatural source, that we can put that under and say, I'm not giving into the flesh here. I'm not going to obey what my flesh is telling me to do. I don't want to be like that. Persistent contention. Now that's when it becomes difficult. Is when contention is persistent. You don't want to contend with the person anymore. But each time you're with them, they want to contend with you. You try to make it right. Look, I'm really sorry. I think there was some misunderstanding. The moment the smallest thing comes again, the contention comes back once again. Now, no matter how spiritual that person claims to be, they're in the flesh. They may claim they know all the quotes. They may be able to claim they know what the seventh seal is and the seven thunders and all that. But that spirit of contention, yeah? Contention, being unable to let something go. But unable just to forgive. It's the flesh. It's absolutely the works of the flesh. And this is one that the palmer worm feeds upon. This is a kind of atmosphere that the palmer worm comes and he thrives in that kind of an atmosphere. He eats at the brotherly love because of contention. Persistent contention. Petty disagreement. Disagreement over petty things, and it's not even important. Leave it alone. It's not important. Don't let it bother you. But you know when it bothers you? When you're in the flesh. When you're in the flesh, it bothers you. You feel the burden, you feel the weight, you feel the heaviness. You go home, you can't forget about it. You wake up tomorrow morning, it's the first thing you're thinking about. Friends, don't let petty disagreements rise up into strife and then rise up into hatred. Because if you feed this thing, it becomes a Frankenstein monster. That becomes something you can't control inside of your life anymore. And you spoil your reputation, you spoil relationships. You take things beyond where they're supposed to go. It should never be like it. Things will come up. They have to come up. But be careful of the works of the flesh. Be careful of feeding the flesh. So it's petty disagreement. It's a spirit of competitiveness to fight to have your own way. You see, friends, if you really have agape love, you're willing to take the person's wrong upon yourself. That's what you are. If the person's saying, but this, that, you say, look, bro, hey, if I did that, I didn't mean it. I don't even think I did it, but please forgive me. That's a person who has genuine love. You will say, look, I just want to be your friend. I don't want this to come between us. If I offend you, I never meant to do it. But when a person continues on now, that's what it's speaking about here. A person who wants to continue on, say, no, 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 no. You must say I'm 100% right. Yeah, and it's not fair to do that.
Amen.
That's the flesh. That's the works of the flesh. There's nothing spiritual that's on display in that person at that time. But people do get to that. They're not content with somebody saying sorry. They go home, they sit at home, they brood over it. The palmer worm comes and anoints them again, and they think, they say, no, he never said sorry properly. He doesn't really mean that he's sorry. And then the next opportunity again, the person's back again. Hey, a dark shadow on them. And you'd be wondering, buddy, sister, what's wrong, brother, what's wrong? We thought we had dealt with the issue, but it's come back again. Because they've never dealt with the issue themselves. They've never allowed the fruits of the Spirit to kick in, but rather it's the works of the flesh. And as long as they keep worshipping that spirit of the palmer worm, as long as they keep feeding that, it's going to get more and take more and more control of their life. Until you'll find somebody will come to the stage, they think they're the only one who's right and everybody else in church is wrong. They'll be convinced and then they'll go and make their own church just them themselves. As I'm the only one who's right. I've seen people in the message. Brother George knows the brother I'm speaking about. We went to his house and he told us, me, I'm called the pastor hater. Remember, Brother George? The brother couldn't fit in anywhere in a church anyway. He called himself the pastor hater. He never agreed with anybody. And then he ended up just worshiping with his family, and then his family all backslid. Friends, that's the flesh. Those are the works of the flesh. Those are carnal works. You may dress it up in spirituality. You may try to call it all manner of things. But it's just the dark deeds of the flesh. And you're very unspiritual when you like that. Because you can't be in the spirit and in the flesh at the same time. Either you're spiritual or you're fleshly. One or the other. You can't have both at the same time. These are people who can't forgive. Or if they say they forgive, they can't forget. That's true. That's why I can't forgive them. But it's going to be at least 2 years before I fellowship with them again. I've seen people like that. They say, no, that person mustn't come near me. It's okay, I forgive them, but they mustn't come near me now for the next 6 months. Yeah. You haven't forgiven them. You haven't overcome yourself. Don't worry about them. You need to overcome yourself. And there's a hidden resource. There's a supernatural something inside of you that if you would allow it to express itself, it has the power, it has the dominion, it has the authority to put that flesh underfoot, to give you dominion over that thing instead of that thing continually having dominion over you, over your behavior, over the way that you react to situations. You'll see it with people. The moment somebody's name is mentioned, you'll find somebody, their face will change. You know that issue is not yet finished. That issue is not finished. You know, the moment somebody, you just mention somebody's name, you'll see they go quiet. You know, but you'll see they don't really want to be quiet, but they go quiet. So that's what it is. It's a fight to have your own way. Now listen what it is. Strive for variance. The fight to have your own way, regardless of cost to yourself or of harm to others. You don't care that it's affecting the church. You don't care it's affecting where you stay. You don't care it's affecting your wife, your children. You don't care that it's affecting everybody else. You just want to show that you're right. That's what it is. That's the spirit of variance. The spirit of strife. It's a deadly one, friends. That is the palmer worm in manifestation. That's a dark spirit that's come. What about the next one after variance? Emulation. Emulation is jealousy. Yeah, see how one, Paul's going downwards. He's taken from the worst, he's going downwards. He's saying, look, it starts with a jealousy, comes to a strife, he builds it, but it says jealousy. The envy of someone's achievements or possessions. You're not happy because brother so-and-so has been allowed to preach. Yeah, you're not happy because sister so-and-so went and sang and it was a great blessing to everybody. And there comes a feeling inside of your flesh. You're not happy with that. No, you something inside of you, you're just not happy. And if you're not careful, if you feed that thing, it's going to start to express itself. The next time that you're with someone, you're going to say something unkind about that person. Maybe something that you knew from the past. You're not going to express it in the midst of a group of people. When somebody says, oh, when Sister So-and-so sang, it was such a blessing. You're going to change the atmosphere because you're feeling something inside of your flesh. You're not happy with that. And now you're going to move it into the next realm. You're going to bring it into saying things that you shouldn't say, into a contention about it. That's what an emulation is. Emulation is the spirit which cannot be content with what it has. But it looks with a jealous eye on every blessing given to somebody else. If you're a minister, yeah, and you invite someone to come and preach, if you're in the flesh, the more the people say amen, the more you'll be unhappy. It's like Saul. The more David was blessed, the more unhappy he was. That was that spirit, emulation in him. And he allowed it to become deeper and deeper in his experience. He had the palmer worm upon him. Until in the end it became open hostility through the spirit, David. You see, when you feed a spirit, it'll take control of you after a while. If you're not careful, you can't be in the spirit and in the flesh at the same time. This is a real assessment of spirituality that he's speaking about. So, what about the next one? We'll skip through wrath. Wrath is an outburst of anger. Yeah? A violent motion or passion in your mind. Heated anger. Passion as if breathing hard. You know the picture of the bull with the nostrils, yeah? And there's the breath coming out of the nostrils. It's when someone gets so angry, they'll be breathing hard. And it actually says about Paul, before he became a believer, he was breathing out threatenings and slaughter. It's that kind of uncontrollable anger that somebody has. That someone can get so angry that they could almost murder a person. That's why Jesus said, be careful. It has been said, shall not kill. But if you hate your brother without cause, you've already murdered them. You've already killed them. Because in the spiritual realm, you've done the deed inside of yourself. What about Cain? I mean, Cain was just a fleshly being completely. He had nothing of the spirit. But he was jealous of his brother at first. And then he got angry. Yeah? Instead of submitting himself, instead of yielding, when the Lord said, if you do like your brother, yeah, I'll accept you. Instead of doing that, he hated how his brother was being accepted of the Lord. And he said, okay, if I can't have it, he can't have it also. And he waited for the ideal opportunity and he smote his brother. He murdered his brother. That was the flesh, the fallen carnal nature. That satanic something that somehow Lucifer managed through the fall to inject into the nature of the human race. It's satanic. Absolutely satanic. You'll find some will be willing to make the whole church suffer just for them. Yeah? Just because they want to prove that they're right. Should never be like that, friends. Love is sacrificial. Love is gentle. Love is patient. Love is kind. All the different things that Paul says about love. So that's where it comes from. So it says even this one, you can see it in someone's nasal passages. You've seen people being so angry that even their nostrils will be going, have you seen that? They'll be breathing so hard, you'll see it that, yeah, this is now beyond just somebody not being happy with something. This is an anger. And they say that anger is temporary insanity. And it's the truth. You lose control. You'll do things that you don't even know that you're doing. It's a temporary insanity that comes upon a person. That's why it's really, really the flesh. Let's finish off on this topic on strife. Strife is the next one. Strife is extreme selfishness. The desire to be number one, which brings you to contentiousness. It's selfishness. You want so much something that you're not willing to say, look, maybe that's not for me. Let me leave it and give it to somebody else. He speaks of seditions. Seditions are dissensions, discord, disunity, division into opposing groups, disagreement which leads to division. Can you see it's the palmer worm? Every single time. All of these are the attributes that the palmer worm works in the flesh of people, uses the fallen, carnal nature of people. That you disagree on something. It speaks of difference of opinion that brings division into factions. That we're the white horse, you the white cloud, brothers. You don't quite see it like us, so we're not going to fellowship with you. You know, we're going to have our white horse convention, you have your white cloud convention. We have our white horse ministers, you have your white cloud ministers. That was the flesh. That was the great failing, the prophet said, of the Pentecostal move. He says, that's when the palmer worm came in and ate the brotherly love. And the real proof of a lack of brotherly love is when a denominationalism starts, when there's different groups. Because the people couldn't sit together in the atmosphere of brotherly love and repair the damage or fix the problems. Yeah, that's a big one, saints. It's something to really all of us to consider, is that whenever there's division, whenever you can't fellowship with somebody anymore, yeah, whenever you've got your little group and you don't agree with that little group, that is absolutely the works of the flesh. That's the flesh. That's dissensions or seditions that the Bible says. The next one is similar. It's heresies. Heresies are factions. A sect or a party or a faction that holds tenets distinctive to itself. So you've got a little bit of a something that's different from the other people. The prophet says we can differ on the minor points of a major doctrine that we all hold together. But on the minor points, we're not going to see things exactly the same. But if we get in the flesh, if we allow that palmer worm to work, that is the breeding ground now. He takes those very things and he brings a faction. You say, but why are you people not fellowshipping anymore? And you find there's nothing of substance behind it. There's nothing major behind it. I was with the brothers there in Bridgewater. And it was really powerful because last time I went 5 years ago, they just had a big split. And then when I went now, and the brother, Brother Merrick, picked me up on Friday, and we were speaking. He said, brother, let me tell you of a great thing that's happening. He says, the other brethren invited me to come and preach for them. And I went and preached for them the other week, and I said, the Lord really blessed. So now I've invited their pastor to come and preach. So I got up the next day. I didn't know what was going on beyond that. I started to preach. I told Brother Max about brotherly love and the failings of brotherly love, not realizing the other group was there, that the two groups were there. And then I sat down at the lunch table. We had dinner, and there were these wonderful brethren sitting there. And I said, hey, you brothers, I heard some good news. I understand that the other group has invited Brother Merrick to preach. They said, we are the other group. I said, wonderful. It was so nice. You can see they really, really do want. And I said, it's so wonderful to see brother love in action. And when I spoke to Brother Merrick, the pastor, he said, brother, he said, it was just our immaturity. And it's true, like with us, when we had our time of doing, it's just immaturity. There's nothing of substance, really, when you look at it to say, but why did this happen? And he said, no, I think now the Lord's seen. We've come to the right level of maturity. It's time to repair the breach. And the pastor from the other group was there, and the two groups. It was really wonderful. It was so nice to see something in action like that. Like in Zimbabwe, when all the ministers got together and they patched up so many things when the revival came. It's a blessing to kick out that palmer worm, because it's very, very active. So that's what heresies are. Then he gets on to envyings and murders. We know what those kind of things are. Let's just finish off with a few things which the prophet has to say about these things now. Because the prophet really, really speaks to these kind of things. He says, in the message, faith is a substance. He says, no matter what outward demonstration you give, as long as the inward here is the Holy Spirit, it'll bring the gifts of this, the fruits of the Spirit. Long-suffering, goodness, meekness, patience, gentleness, faith, temperance. Satan can copy any kind of a gift, any kind of a manifestation, but he cannot love. And God is love. Satan cannot love. He says, you see a man who is humble and loving and good to his neighbors. A good citizen, a good fellow, a good man, a Christian, full of love and humility. Watch that man. That's right. Long-suffering. You can talk about him. All right, he forgives you. Doesn't make any difference to him. That's the real man. Keep your eye on him. That man is bearing. He's an example. Friends, wouldn't you want to be that kind of a person? Or that kind of a testimony? That when you reviled, you don't quickly revile back. When people speak against you, you're not trying to find something which you can use in return. But you let it go because you're living in a certain place. You're living in a place where that palmer worm doesn't have access to that realm of the Shekinah glory inside of your soul. Yes, it may be your flesh, but don't have to worry about it. How does it happen? The prophet says, and word became flesh. It's got to be a change. This is where it begins. a change of the heart. Not the physical, but the heart of your soul. Something anchors. Until your thoughts that way, towards the flesh, is dull. You don't see that no more. You just see the Lord Jesus. You see His righteousness, His love, His grace. That's when you've been changed. What is a convert? Convert means to change something over. Your thoughts, your habits, your being has been changed from a sinner to a Christian. The first thing, this is how it happens. You know it in your heart. Something moves within the veil. Yeah? He's dealing with you. Then you express it with your lips. Then it materializes. And then you are. That's where it starts. He comes within the veil. The Spirit of God comes within the veil. And something changes you within. And then you speak it out to say, I'm no longer the same. I'm a new creation. All things have passed away. All things have become new. And as you speak it, it continues to materialize inside of your life. Then he says, but if you just imagine that you think it, yeah, and you express it, and it doesn't materialize, then you're on the wrong track. So if you speak it, but when the test comes, you know, it's not there. It doesn't materialize. You make great claims about being a believer, great claims about being the bride, great claims about being an overcomer. You're speaking it, but it doesn't materialize. The prophet says something didn't take place right in the veil. You weren't planted in the right place right from the beginning. Because it's got to materialize. He says, you're on the wrong road. He says, now, if you imagine you're a Christian and you speak it out with your lips, but you find out you're not, you better get your heart changed. See? Because it doesn't bear record. It's not bearing the fruit of it. But the fruit of the Spirit is gentleness and so forth. If every little thing comes along, here's the test, and you fly up at it, you better be careful. You see, you quickly react to it. There's something hasn't happened. You're expressing something here that's not here. Oh, friends, I'm sure we all want the genuine thing. And the prophet says the Pentecostal skies are full of the genuine thing. Why accept a substitute? The key is just to lay yourself on the altar and say, Jesus, I want to be like you. I want to express you. You may have been a believer, but now you're starting to manifest things you didn't used to express. And it easily happens. You need to go back to your first works. You need to go and shut yourself in with Him the way that you used to. Sometimes you need to fast to put the flesh under. You need to pray. You need to yield. You need to feed from Him once again. And then you'll start to bring forth those fruits that you used to bring forth. Let's come to a close. The prophet speaks of Aaron's rod. He uses it many times in power of decision. He said, put Aaron's rod in there. In the Shekinah glory within the veil, yeah? An old dead almond tree. But as it went under the Shekinah glory, everything it was restored again. Amen. That's the way a sinner is when he goes under the Shekinah glory of the Holy Spirit and the veil drops behind him. Everything that he ought to have, a son of God blooms out in him again. Amen. It's because of the environment. It's because of the hidden power source that you've got. Now, once again, it's real within the veil. It's in your soul. It's real. Its joy is there. There's gentleness is there. There's peace that's there. And it wants to express itself. So when the occasion comes, the flesh wants to kick in, you yield yourself to the Spirit. You put to death the deeds of the flesh. The fruit comes forth and He expresses Himself once again. The prophet says, remember, overnight it budded, it blossomed, and it grew almonds, the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, long-suffering, goodness, patience. That's what we need, is to get into that third step beyond the veil. Get over into the Shekinah glory where that little sacred light was hanging over the mercy seat. That's the place to stay. That's the place to live. Ah, friends, but the devil's going to try to pull you and me into so many other things, unnecessary things and secondary things. We get so busy with work, with life, with studies, with domestic affairs, that we don't abide there. We don't go and abide in that kind of a place. Let's finish with John 15. Look what Jesus said in the scripture. You can go and read yourself on the message if you want. Just look for fruits of the Spirit. I mean, there's hundreds and hundreds of things he says about it. John chapter 15. From verse 1, he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the words which I've spoken unto you. That's why those works of the flesh to do with uncleanness. There's power of sanctification in the word. If you find your mind is impure, your mind is thinking the wrong things, get in the word. Pray first. Then get under the anointed voice of the message of the hour. And really stay there. Lay there. At first your mind will be confused. It'll be full of other things. But as you yield yourself, you'll be washed. You'll be sanctified by the word. You'll be washed with the waters of the word. And you'll come out of that and your mind will be sane again. It'll be clear. You'll be purified again in the spiritual realm. That's why it says he cleaned us through the word that I've spoken to you. Verse 4. Abide in me. The prophet says not go out, run around in the world, then quickly dash behind the curtain just when it's time for church. That's not abiding in him. Abiding in him. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. How do we bring forth fruit? You manufacture it? No. Abide in him. If you abide in him, you'll bring forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. That's how you glorify the Lord, by living that kind of a life. So shall you be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue you in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Our friends, exceeding great and precious promises. He's done wonderful things for us. He's given us all we need. All that's required for life and godliness. He's given us all the resources that we need. Let's use the resources. Let's appreciate what he's done. And if you find inside of yourself that the flesh, you continually can't overcome it, why not inside of the altar of your heart go back again and say, Lord, maybe I wasn't planted deeply enough in Christ. Maybe I wasn't planted, maybe the roots never went deep enough, but Lord, take me deeper. Let me find that place, my position in Christ, that when I'm planted there, though all hell has assailed me, though the storms may rage, but I shall not be moved. That's the place that you desire to be. Let's stand, saints. Let's sing that song just as we're dismissed. We ask Brother George to come. Though all hell assail me, I shall not be moved. Because you planted in him.
I shall not be moved. by the waters, I shall go.
We've made a lot of great claims there. I shall not be moved. Though all hell assail me, I shall not be moved. Though the tempest rages, I shall not be moved. Oh, there's so many great things that we've testified. Never forget, you're going to be tested on that. And it's not by power, it's not by might. But with the right attitude, he'll give you the grace. Let's not be moved, saints. Don't let the opinions of people move you. Don't let the condition of people around and about you move you. Be a tree planted by the rivers of water, that you may bring forth his fruit in his season. That although others, the fellowship may be failing, the leaves may be being eaten. But in your tree, there's an atmosphere. There's an atmosphere that doesn't allow the palmer worm to do his work. And your leaves are still lush and fresh. And in the heat of the day, others can come under and have precious fellowship in the shade and find a refreshment. When others are casting their fruit to the winds and the strife, but you bring forth fruit and others can partake of that fruit. Is that not your desire? I'm sure that's your desire. We just ask, Brother George, you'd be kind enough to close for us. Just keep it inside of your heart as we close in a word of prayer.
Father, we thank you for your word this night.
Yes, Lord.
Lord Jesus, how good it is, Father, to know that, Lord, Father, throughout our lives, even in, Lord, Father, days gone by, Father, these things, Lord, have been, Lord, Father, oh God, so prevalent amidst our lives.
Amen.
And Lord Jesus, we're so grateful that you, Father, the high priest, sitting on your throne tonight, you anointed your servant, Father, to say the things he said in the way that he said. Father, knowing indeed, Lord, that Father, oh God, it's a confirmation, Father, to us amidst our lives that, Lord, Father, this is what you want with our lives.
Amen.
Father, we don't want the deeds of darkness.
Amen.
We don't want a fellowship with, Lord, darkness, Lord. For, Lord, Father, as Paul once said somewhere in his scripture, Father, Lord, Father, call to remembrance.
Yes.
When you were first illuminated.
Amen.
Father, when we received this gospel with great joy, Father, Lord, we, Lord, hazarded our lives for this gospel, Father. Lord, I can think, Lord, Father, even in our lives, the distance that we traveled, Father, for a soul.
Amen.
Father, we would travel hundreds of miles just for this gospel, Father.
Amen.
Lord, Father, and the people we would travel to would gladly receive this gospel.
Amen.
Father, the many houses we'd visit, Lord, the people would, Lord, receive it in gladness, Lord.
Amen.
But Lord, it's as though we've become intelligent, Lord.
Amen.
We've become so wise that, Lord, we question these things, oh God.
Amen.
And Lord, you would bring this same word, Lord, with such wisdom, Lord, with such skill, Lord, Father, right to our doorsteps, Lord God. Father, but Lord, even as the prophet said, Lord, Father, oh God, Lord Savior, it's like the doctor would give medicine, Lord, Father, to the sick, Lord, and the sick man would not want to take it, Lord Savior. Oh, Father, forgive us, Lord Savior, in such stubbornness, Lord, in such rebellion, Lord Savior. For we want to, Lord Savior, be identified, oh, Father, with the fruits of life, Lord. We don't want the deeds of darkness amidst our lives.
Yes.
For Lord, Father, we, Lord Savior, are now, Lord Savior, Father, aliens to that life. Lord, Father, we want, Lord, the fruits of life, Lord Savior. Father, we don't want that old man, but Lord, we want the new man.
Amen.
To have preeminence, Lord.
Yes.
Savior. Lord, Father, as Lord Savior was once said to the prophet, Lord, that Lord, Father, which, Lord, Father, dog would win the race? But he said, the one that you feed the most, Lord.
Amen.
We want the white Lord Savior to have complete, Lord Savior, control amidst our lives.
Amen.
That, Lord Father, those fruits that would come forth, Lord Father, even from this gospel ministered, Lord, it would bring fruits, Lord.
Amen.
Father, oh God, of righteousness, Lord. It would.
Amen.
Bring, Lord Savior, believers that are of a pure heart, Lord Savior. Oh.
Amen.
God, Lord Savior, that we would, Lord, Father, Lord Savior, fear, Lord Savior, like, Lord Savior, Father, what happened in the early church, we would.
Amen.
Fear for those, Lord Savior, that died in your midst, Lord Savior.
Oh, Lord.
Father, spiritually, daily we die if we reject this gospel, Father.
Yes,
bless this word to our bodies and our bodies to your service, Lord Savior.
Yes.
For Lord, Father, this is the right ingredients that you give today.
And Lord, the prescription tonight that is given to us is love. For Lord, it's love, Lord Savior, that conquered the bull. Lord, it's love, Lord Savior, that overcome, that overcame all things, Lord. Even love at the cross, Lord, said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Amen. Help us to have that kind of love, Lord Savior God. That, Lord, we'd have a bond one with another, Lord Savior God. That, Lord Savior, Father, in our youth, Lord, we'd have, Lord, that enjoyment of this Christian life. Hallelujah. For it's such a blessed thing to have this message, Lord. Amen. What a wonderful thing, Lord. The prophet, Lord Savior, you gave to us, Lord. Amen. Father, there's so much out there, Lord, to discover, Lord. Amen. Father, to think of how, Father, Lord God, Lord, the same message was explained tonight, Lord, in a way that's, Lord, unspeakable, Lord Savior. We thank Thee for Your goodness, Lord. We thank Thee for our brother, Lord Savior, who You use this night, Lord. Father, to edify Your church, Lord, to cleanse Your church, Lord. Help us that we, Lord Savior, be faithful sheep, that we take this word with two hands and we ponder upon it, Lord Savior, when we lay tonight in our beds. Lord, and we ponder where we stand, Lord Savior. For Lord, we want to stand with Moses tonight and not with Dathan and Korah, Lord Savior. Amen. God. Guide us now as we part. And let us not be quick, Lord, Father, to forget this word. But let us really, Lord Savior, write it even upon the tables of our hearts, Lord Savior. For Lord, we can only get, Lord Savior, freedom from this, Lord, if we're constantly gazing into this word, Lord. Amen. Gazing, Lord, even into that perfect law of liberty, Lord Savior. For Lord, there's healing of the soul. There's healing of the mind. Amen. There's healing of the body, Lord Savior. Oh, Jesus, give us grace, Lord. Amen. That we, Lord Savior, with all, Father, fear and trembling, Lord Savior, we'd make our lives, Father, oh God, right, Lord Savior. Lord, we'd live a life that is up to standard, Lord Savior God. And we thank Thee this night, Lord, that we didn't have communion, Lord, for Amen. We were not ready for communion, Lord Savior God. But when we'd have it, Lord, we will be ready, Lord Savior Amen. God. Help us that we, Lord Savior, start now preparing Amen. For communion, Lord Savior Amen. God. Jesus, guide us as we part. Bless, Lord Savior, our brother and pastor, Lord, even as he parts, Lord. Father, You restore virtue, Lord, that, Lord, the fruits of this word would come back, Lord Savior. Father, having, Lord Savior, achieved their purpose, Lord. And bless those that did not come tonight. You bring them to the next service, Lord. Amen. Father, forgive me for not being in the next service, Lord. But Lord, promising to make right, Lord. Father, when things, Lord, work out, Lord Savior, Amen. Work wise. We're looking unto Thee now, Father. Give us grace and undertake, Lord, even in our needs, Lord. And in my health this night, Lord, it's just a soothing word that, Lord Savior, would lift again and would give strength, Lord Savior yes, God. Lord. Help us that we take full advantage of this word, Lord, Amen. Whilst it's yes. still today. Yes. Guide us as we part. Bless all our needs, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I am weak, but Thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk in all. Just a closer walk with Thee. That it, Jesus is my,
is my daily plea. Daily walking close to Thee.
Let it be. This world of toil and snare.
If I falter, Lord, oh, who cares, my Lord? Oh, with me, my burden share.
None but Thee, Lord, none but Thee. Just a closer walk.
That
is
my daily prayer. evil life is over. Time for me will be no. Time will be no more. Die, be gentle, save me, oh. In thy kingdom, show. Oh, just a closer walk with Jesus. A closer walk with thee. God, if Jesus is my plea. Daily, close to thee. Let it be. Yeah, Lord, let it be. I was down as low as one could go. Had no strength of my own. Do you know grace? Everything I worked for, all of my life, everything I loved was gone. Lowest valley. When it comes time for him to take his bride to that evergreen shore, when he chooses you and I to live in that land forevermore, when we've been there. Could ask me.